Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, April 2nd, 2023, Romans.
All right, first things first, today is Sammy Builder's birthday. Happy birthday to Sammy. Sammy isn't here this morning, but her husband Chris is. Her two kids, Emmy and Henley, they're here, and this takes me back to show me how effing old I am. Because I can see Sammy, about the size of Emmy and Henley, standing here, and Debbie's got the hymnal we're singing. And Debbie puts the hymnal down by Sammy so she can sing. And Sammy looked up at Debbie and said, "Are you crazy? I can't weed." And now she is married and has a family and they're here. I am effing old, see. See, that's okay. F-ing is okay. It's just as long as I don't add U-C-K. See? Well, I like to have you in a happy mood on this Sunday morning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We have completed the exegesis of the great parenthesis. Verses 13 to 17, now we pick up again at verse 18 where the Apostle Paul concludes with what he was teaching in verse 12. And this will all come together when we get into the study. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Sounds like this in the corrected translation. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression. Who, Adam, is a tupos, a type of the one who was destined to come, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that Greek word tupos is very important. It means that the first Adam serves as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam. While the first Adam was created perfect and the last Adam was born perfect, the synonymous parallelism stops right there. The objective of Romans 5:14-21 is to emphasize the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind because spiritual death is derived from his original sin. By contrast, Christ is the head of the redeemed race since he is the source of their redemption. In Romans 5:14-21, then, Paul is contrasting the disobedience of the first Adam and the result of spiritual death with the obedience of the last Adam, salvation work of Christ on the cross, and its result of salvation and justification. The first Adam brought condemnation to the human race, while the last Adam brought salvation to the human race. Both had a free will. The first Adam chose to use his free will to sin, resulting in spiritual death. The last Adam chose not to sin, resulting in impeccability and therefore qualification to go to the cross and provide salvation for mankind. The first Adam is the author of spiritual death, while the last Adam is the author of eternal salvation and justification. Verses 15 and 16. But the charisma, the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the paroptima, the transgression. For if by means of the transgression, Adam's original sin, of the one, the many, all mankind, died spiritual death, first class condition, and they did die, the universality of spiritual death, much more did the grace of God and the gift by means of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, superabound to the many. In fact, the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judicial verdict came by one's transgression, resulting in condemnation, spiritual death. But on the other hand, the gracious gift, Jesus Christ, and his salvation work on the cross was given because of many sins, resulting in justification. The first Adam committed one sin, and the entire human race came under condemnation because of that one sin. The last Adam was judged for all the sins of mankind, making the entire human race eligible for salvation, justification. The first Adam sinned, resulting in the condemnation and spiritual death of the entire human race. The last Adam's gracious gift, the salvation work of Jesus Christ on the cross, resulted in the entire human race being eligible for eternal salvation. From the first Adam's sin comes condemnation. From the last Adam's grace gift comes justification. And then verse 17, the last verse of the great parenthesis. Verse 17, for if by means of the sin of the one man, Adam, spiritual death ruled as a king over mankind through the one, first class condition, and it does, much more the ones who received the abundance of grace, even the gift of righteousness, God's imputed righteousness, establishing the grace pipeline, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now we have two phrases here joined by a chi. The first phrase, the abundance of grace. And it's joined by an ascensive chi, even. That ascensive chi says, with the gift of righteousness means this is, don't think of two different things here. This is one concept. What we have here is the abundantly gracious gift of righteousness. That's what's being stated. The abundantly gracious gift of righteousness. The abundance of God's grace is magnified by its enormous potential for grace blessings because of the gift of righteousness. The imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ establishes the grace pipeline. There is a grace pipeline between you and God, with the justice of God on one hand, the imputed righteousness of God in the believer on the other hand. You are encapsulated by the integrity of God. And that is a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes to you because you have the righteousness of God, because you have justification, because you have been imputed with God's righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ, that down this grace pipeline, God can send to you blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings. That's the superabundance of grace blessings. At the moment you place your faith in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. Right then, 40 salvation blessings came down that pipeline to you. Right then, 40. And we've gone through those 40 salvation. We'll be doing it again. I've done it, taught it, and taught it, and taught it. But right now, no, there are 40. You say, well, I don't know what they are. Well, just keep getting your little patootie in the seat, and one of these days we'll teach the 40 salvation blessings again. 40 salvations come to you at the moment of faith in Christ. And then, every single day, today, down that grace pipeline, God sent down to you logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive right here in the middle of the devil's world. Logistical grace. He's given you food to eat. You all have had food to eat. Nobody here is starving to death. I can see that. You've had food to eat, clothes to wear. I'm happy you put them on. That's great. I've always said you can come in a barrel just if you want, just come. But nobody has taken me up on that, coming in a barrel yet. Doesn't matter what you wear. But God provides food, clothing, everything you need to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world every single day. To all of you. Everyone. Winners, believers, babies, adolescent, mature. Every believer gets that logistical grace. Why? Because the grace plan of God wants you to go all the way. All the way to spiritual maturity. And so He gives you this logistical grace day after day after day so that you can make good decisions in your life. Good decisions. To live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. To grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To have the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. So He does this because He wants to pour out on you greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing. When you reach spiritual adulthood and spiritual maturity, now God can send down that grace pipeline. Greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings than time while you're right here in the devil's world. And greater grace blessings for all eternity. And those greater grace blessings glorify God forever and ever and ever and ever. And therefore, somewhere along the line, I hope a light goes on in each one of your soul. that the light goes on and that you decide to live your life in the light of eternity. So this is the abundantly gracious gift of righteousness. Justification means qualified for blessings. Justification precedes all other blessings from God. The justice of God administers what the righteousness of God demands. Justification is God recognizing the imputation of His righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ and the potential for the abundance of grace blessings in life. Verse 17, now that closes the parenthesis. Now we start verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one... And what we have here is araun hos di henas paraptomata. See? Amen. That we'll have the Lord's table in a few minutes. I was not speaking in tongues. I was speaking Greek. We have the inferential particle ara with the inferential conjunction un plus the comparative particle host plus the preposition dia plus the genitive singular of heis and the genitive singular paroptima. All right, now this is very important here. This is how... Now if you don't study this in the original autograph and all you're doing is reading your English translation, every translation is different. And they never do tell you what is there. They, a lot of times, what you can read it to, you're blue in the face, you never ever understand what is there. But this is really cool how Paul does this. We have ara plus un. Ara is an illative particle. You can translate it so then, consequently, you see. But it's combined with the inferential conjunction un. We have ara un. A-R-A-O-U-N. Ara un. Don't have this. This is not a common thing. This is for special emphasis. When ara is combined with the inferential conjunction un, as it is in our verse, then it becomes strengthened. It should be translated, so then. Now, remember, that's a tough word when I say that, although I got a congregation of geniuses, you all remember. Remember, verses 13 to 17, that is what? The great parenthesis. Now, after the parenthesis, Paul is going back. He's going back to verse 12. So, araun is now introducing the conclusion of what he was teaching in verse 12. Therefore, verses 18 to 21... In this last few verses, we have the conclusion of Romans 5:12. Okay? Great parenthesis, 13 to 17. Now, araun. The conclusion of what he was teaching in verse 12 will now be concluded in verses 18 to 21. Paul now recaptures the thought that he had begun, but not completed in verse 12. And now he continues it in verses 18 to 21. And this is evident from the fact that the words in verse 18, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. This is what we have in verse 18. So this is evident from the fact that the words in verse 18, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, picks up the ideas expressed in verse 12. which says, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and spiritual death through sin, and in this way spiritual death spread to all mankind. He's now picking up what he taught in verse 12. So, one, so this return to the starting point of verse 12 is now introduced by a doubled inferential conjunction. Ara-un. So the return to the starting point of verse 12 is now introduced by a doubled inferential construction in the Greek, ara-un. And then we have a comparative particle host, which means like or as. And in the first half of verse 18, we have a comparison introduced with hosts, as, and then it is followed in the second half of verse 18 with houtos kai. So, let me show you this. Hosts, and then, well, I shouldn't have done that so big. We'll get it down here. Houtos kai. So we have hosts, and then dot, dot, dot. Hos houtos kai. H long O S. And then H O U T long O S K A I. Hos houtos kai. Hos as, and then so also. So hos houtos kai, as so also. Two. One man, Adam's transgression, resulted in condemnation of all mankind. One man, Adam's transgression, resulted in condemnation to all mankind. Three, this is the real imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death and consequent condemnation. So this is the real imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death and consequent condemnation. Four, so also one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, righteous action, his salvation work on the cross, makes salvation, justification possible for all mankind by simple faith in Jesus Christ. So point four, so also one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, righteous action, his salvation work on the cross, makes salvation, justification possible for all mankind by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Nine. This involves two judicial imputations. The judicial imputation number one, the imputation of the world's personal sins to Christ on the cross, and the judgment on those sins. And judicial imputation number two, the imputation of God's righteousness to all mankind, who makes the good decision to believe in Jesus Christ. So this involves two judicial imputations. The judicial imputation number one, the imputation of the world's personal sins to Christ on the cross and the judgment of those sins in Christ. Judicial imputation number two, the imputation of God's righteousness to all mankind who makes that good decision to believe in Jesus Christ. And then we have dia plus the genitive, and those of you who have been here many, many moons know that dia plus the genitive is instrumental, by means of, by the agency of, through. And then the numeral heis, one, and paroptima, which we've had many times, and this is the same noun we had in verse 17, It means transgression or sin, and this is Adam's original sin. So the corrected translation, so then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, then we have judgment came upon all men to condemnation. This is the prepositional phrase, ace plus the accusative plural of anthropos with the adjective pos, plus the preposition ace plus the accusative of katakrima. So we have a preposition ace used two times in this phrase, and it's used in two different ways. Two different ways. So here's the preposition ace. It's used in two different ways. First of all, it introduces a result. And so you translate it resulting in condemnation. Ace plus the accusative of katakrima, resulting in condemnation. The second way, it means to all mankind. Ace plus the accusative plural of pathanthropos, to all mankind. So two different ways here. Ace pantos anthropos, ace katakrima. That's what we have. So the first time introduces a result, resulting in condemnation. Secondly, to all mankind. Now, katakrima. Katakrima, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-M-A. Katakrima. Now, katakrima comes from the verb katakrino. Katakrino means to condemn someone. Katakrima means condemnation or punishment. And it serves as the direct or the object of the preposition ace, and you translate it resulting in condemnation. And then the second use of the preposition ace to pantos anthropos, to all mankind. So the corrected translation. So then, Araun, we're going back and picking up what Paul was teaching in verse 12. The great parenthesis is over. Now we're picking that up again. So then, Araun, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, even so by the righteousness of one. Now this is the adverb houtos with the conjunction kai, which I've already explained to you, hos, and then houtos kai, as, so also. And then the dia plus the genitive singular of the numeral hais, modifying the genitive singular noun dikaioma. So again, houtos kai, so also. And then dia plus the genitive again, by means of, by the agency of, through, and then the numeral hais. And you say, hey, that's the same word that you said was the preposition to. No, it's not. This is H-E-I-S. See, there's the breathing mark out over the difference between this is heis, the breathing mark's going this way, and in this, ice, it's going this way, which means there's no breath. So this is the preposition. You have E-I-S is preposition, and then here is the numeral heis. So you got to pay attention. You got to have good eyesight. Now, I am nearsighted. That's a blessing for you, because you're all fuzzy. You're all fuzzy out there. I'm nearsighted. Now, I can see great here. I can see great when I get my Greek open, I can see which way the breathing mark is going, whether it's heis or ace. I'm nearsighted. I take off my glasses. I know some of you wonder, why does he take his glasses off? Because I want to be able to see what I have here. And I don't necessarily want to see what's out there. Not that you aren't handsome, beautiful, responsive, You're all sitting there smiling, going, yeah, go, Pastor Olson, go. I know you're all that way. You're not standing there. And then we have Dikai Oma. D-I-K-A-I, long O-M-A. Dikai Oma. Now, Dikai Oma is a part of the Dikaiao word group. And we've had this word group all throughout Romans. Here's the verb, D-I-K-A-I-O, long O, Dikaiao. And that's the verb to declare righteous. To declare righteous, to justify. And we've had that all throughout Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5. And within that word group of dikaiō, you have dikaiosune. Dikaiosune, righteousness. And that's the key of justification, the moment of your faith in Christ. God imputes to each one of you His righteousness, establishing a grace pipeline. Now you're set up for blessing, 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 blessing. 40 salvation blessings at the moment of faith in Christ, logistical grace blessing every single day to keep you alive in the devil's world, so that somewhere along the line, the light goes on and you say, hey, hey, I need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I need to start making good decisions for God and the Word of God. And then you advance, you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you attain spiritual maturity, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and now God pours down abundance of grace blessings in time and for all eternity. So dikaiosune, righteousness, and dikaioma, righteous deed, righteous act. Dikaioma puts the spotlight on the righteous act, the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This emphasizes, again, those two judicial imputations. Judicial imputation, number one, of all the world's sins to Christ on the cross and their judgment, making it possible for judicial imputation. Number two, God's righteousness to anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. So then, great parenthesis is over. Now we're picking up the conclusion of what Paul was teaching in verse 12. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also, through one act of righteousness, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, the judicial imputation of the sins of the world to Christ and their judgment. And then the conclusion, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Once again, we have the preposition heis used in two different ways. We have heis plus the accusative singular of dikaiosis and the genitive singular of zoe, plus eis with the accusative singular of anthropos, modified by the accusative singular of pos. So the last clause in verse 18 parallels the first clause of verse 18. And once again, we have the preposition eis used in two different ways, the exact same way as in the first clause. The first use of eis is a result, introducing result, resulting in. This time, resulting in justification, and the second use of eis, to all mankind, to everyone who simply places their faith in Christ. Now, all mankind is savable, eligible for eternal salvation, but you must fulfill that one condition. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Through simple faith, and only that, because otherwise you make yourself a co-savior. Jesus Christ did all the work. He did all the work. There's nothing left for man to do. He did it all. And you place your faith in Jesus Christ's finished work. The finished work of Christ on the cross. There's no more work to do. When you add one work, you're saying he didn't do enough. And now you got to help him out. You're going to help Jesus Christ out. He was a lousy savior. So you're going to be a co-savior. You're going to do some works. That is legalism and false gospel, and not one person will be in heaven by following that. And then we have dikaiosis. Now we just had dikaioma, now we have dikaiosis. My Greek professor, by the way, he was absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal Greek professor. I took every class I could from him. And he set up these notes, and I've got those in my study in here, and absolutely the best of the best. Just having him at Dallas Seminary and I took every Greek class he taught and kept learning and learning and learning to learn Greek. But I always got a kick out of him because he would say, how can you tell the difference between ma and sis for endings? Well, sis can and ma can't. I went over some of your heads and some of you are still troubled with effing, so at the beginning. One, dikaiosis is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. It's only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's found in Romans. In our verse, Romans 5:18, and the other one is Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25. The Apostle Paul says, who, Jesus our Lord, was delivered over for judgment because of our transgressions, our sins, and he was resurrected because of our justification. And the word there is dikaiosis. So that is the only other use of dikaiosis. Two, dikaiosis means justification, vindication. It is the act of justification. It is the act of God the Father imputing to you His righteousness and declaring you to be justified. Three, this justification is related to the genitive singular of zoe. Z, long O, long E, zoe. And zoe is the word life. Four, zoe here, life, is the grace gift of eternal life. The grace gift of eternal life. The moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, God not only imputes to you His righteousness, declares you to be justified, vindicated, establishing the grace pipeline of blessing. He also gives you the gift of eternal life. Five, therefore we have received both justification, the imputation of divine righteousness, and eternal life as a gift of grace. Therefore, we have received both justification, the imputation of divine righteousness and eternal life as a gift of grace. The object of the second use of ace is the accusative singular of anthropos, modified by pos. And again, the second use of ace is to pontos, anthropos, to all mankind, to everyone. So the corrected translation of verse 18. So then, great parenthesis is over. Now we're picking up the conclusion of Romans 5:12. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, the judicial imputation of the sins of the world to Christ and their judgment, there resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind. Get that? I mean, it's great in that, in the Greek. King James sucks, but did you know that most of the interpreters of the King James Version weren't even believers? They were unbelievers. It was unbelievers that did the translation of most of the King James. But there's still people, and I hear them say, well, if the King James Version was great enough for the Apostle Paul, it's great enough for me. Was that one of you that said that? So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, the judicial imputation of the sins of the world to Christ and their judgment, there resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind. One. One trespass, Adam's original sin, is contrasted with one righteous act, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. So one trespass, Adam's original sin, is contrasted with one righteous act, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Two, the result of Adam's original sin is that all mankind is under condemnation. The result of Adam's original sin is that all mankind is under condemnation. Three. This is contrasted with Christ's salvation work on the cross, resulting in justification and eternal life made possible for all mankind. This is contrasted with Christ's salvation work on the cross, resulting in justification and eternal life made possible for all mankind. Four. At physical birth, human life is imputed to the soul, and Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed sin nature. Two real imputations occur at physical birth. Human life is imputed to the soul. We are born physically alive. Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature. We are born spiritually dead. So point five. Therefore, all mankind is born. We come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead. Hello, Houston, we have a problem. The imputation of Adam's original sin to genetically formed old sin nature results in spiritual death, and therefore the condemnation of all mankind. Point six. Condemnation precedes justification. Condemnation precedes justification. Seven. We are all born a facsimile of Adam after the fall. We are all born a facsimile of Adam after the fall. Now there is one exception, but only one exception. Only one birth is an exception to that, the physical birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parthenogenesis, a virgin pregnancy and a virgin birth. And therefore, there was no genetically formed sin nature and no home for the real imputation of Adam's original sin. And therefore, Jesus Christ, in his true humanity, was born as Adam was created, perfect. Eight. The first Adam brought spiritual death and condemnation. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, brought justification and eternal life. Grace, gifts from God to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. God did this for us because of His policy of grace. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinite integrity, infinitely fair. And God loved the whole world with impersonal love, unconditional love. And because of that impersonal love for all, He designed a plan for salvation, Operation Grace. And God the Son, the eternal Son of God, had the genuine humility to say to the Father, I'll do it. And so, between the Father and the Son left heaven, came to earth, took on true humanity, and paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. So that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. All right. We'll take our break, and in a few minutes, the Lord's table. Thank you.